you're in? Calm down, Catherine!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Calm Down, Catherine podcast. I know it's been a really long time since we had a podcast, so you might not remember that this is a podcast, but it is. It's really a podcast, and today we have a special guest with us, and it's Nathan. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. You know, Nationwide says they're on your side, but when I was in court, they were on the side of the guy I ran over.
Hey-oh!
I come out guns blazing.
Yeah. So... Like, the reason we haven't had a podcast in a really long time is because nothing fun is going on. We don't have any fun stories to tell. Nothing new is going on.
To anybody?
Not anybody here.
Oh, to you.
To me. Yeah, it's just same old, nothing interesting happening. But I've been listening to a lot of other podcasts. First, I was listening to the Douglas Stank podcast.
Oh, that's a good one.
They were talking about how, like... Really, aren't all podcasts just ripping off other podcasts? And then I thought, hey, I could rip off other podcasts.
That reminds me of something I heard on a podcast.
Yeah. And so one of the podcasts I've been listening to while I'm sitting around doing nothing new is Seth Rogen's podcast. And so here's how his podcast is set up. He has famous people come on and they go like in great detail into a particular story in their life. And if they can manage it, then they also like... get follow-up information on this story to see if they can confirm it or just to see if they can get additional details from other people and whatever.
So they're not just talking out their butts.
Right. Well, I mean, they start out talking out their butts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess they work their way up.
But so the podcast is a butt check.
I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this. It has nothing to do with it. But sorry. Anyway, here's what I was thinking. Since nothing new that's fun or interesting is happening... Instead, talk about old stuff, old stories that I love to tell and I love to talk about.
But they're new to you.
They're new to, not to me, they're old to me, but they're new to you, like the listeners.
Oh, I should have said that. It's new to them.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do a few episodes like that. You know, we've been sprinkling in a little bit of Calm Down Muppets.
The new format.
Fiona, but here's another format we'll sprinkle in. This one will be like... fun old stories.
And then we'll see how the people like it in a mailbag episode.
Right, yeah. We'll see how it goes. This first story that I want to talk about, I like to, if I was going to label them, right? Like, the title of this short story.
Should our story format, should it have its own theme song?
Sure. What would it be? Ooh-wah, do wanna hear a story? Ooh-wah, ooh. I just wrote that. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's wonderful.
Anyway, we'll see if we can come up with something for a theme song for it. But, like, the story I want to tell, I would title it The Sports Bra.
Sports Bra. This is about some time when you were young and it was the first time you were going to work out.
No, although now that you just said that, I have, like, three... like pubescent bra stories that come to mind, but no, that is not.
I didn't necessarily think of I don't know if the audience wants to hear about coming of age bra stories.
No.
But wasn't there a time when like the sports bra was invented? Am I imagining that sports bra was like invented in our lifetime?
I don't know. I don't know a lot of bra history.
Okay.
But. What I mean to tell you is that there's a few people in this story, good friends of mine.
Okay.
But I don't know if we have the technical know-how to, like, reach out to them and have them chime in. So, we'll see what we can do about it. But I don't know if we're going to be able to have any clips from them in it. But, you know, maybe as we go forward, we can figure that out somehow. So, I was thinking, if I tell the story, then you can chime in with, like, a... By you, I mean Nathan. Nathan,
okay,
you
can... Okay, not the audience.
Not the audience. I mean, that's for the mailbag. That's a totally different thing. But you can chime in with similar stories, or if you have any questions or whatever, you can we can chat back and forth. So I'm thinking that the whole podcast might be a little bit rambly.
It might be more loose than our typical directed episode.
Yes, our we normally like to keep things tight.
Yeah.
Keep our stories tight.
We would never ramble. Normally.
Yeah. But anyway.
But we fired the writers.
We fired the writers, and now it's just, you know, old stories. So let me tell you about this sports bra story. Now, I had to, like, go way back to, like, set the scene.
Oh, you got to set the scene.
Yeah. So, it starts out with a little confession. I didn't go away to college. I commuted to college. So, when I first moved out of my parents' house was, like, a year after I graduated.
You'd already graduated college.
Yeah. And I had, like, a real job. And I was 23. And it was finally time to move out. And so, I moved into an apartment in Waterford.
So, you never... like, lived in a sorority?
No.
And had those sort of big sorority party experiences?
Right. Because, like, already we're saying, oh, okay, so Catherine doesn't have any fraternity sorority stories? Sorry, guys. That's why...
Yeah, if you came here for that, you're going to be disappointed.
You're going to be disappointed.
It's not about keg stands or getting your stomach pumped.
Right. You know, maybe later I'll come up with some good math club stories to share, but that's not today.
Oh.
So I moved to Waterford because in my mind, I thought it was halfway between Grand Blanc, where my parents lived, and Detroit, where I worked. But let me tell you something, I was wrong. Waterford's not close to anything. I mean, it might be close to everything, but there's no easy way to drive from Waterford to anywhere else, right? It's like a bajillion lakes in between Waterford and anywhere you want to go. Anyway, so the first, so the day we moved in, my parents are, you know, my whole family's there. They're helping me. I'm their sweet little Catherine. I'm the first one to move out. I'm all grown up.
So they loaded up like a minivan.
Yeah, like a minivan. Yeah, it was probably several trips with a minivan. Maybe so two minivans.
They packed the van. Did they have a bed?
A bed. Oh,
a TV?
Yeah, I think I had bought a couch.
Oh.
And like... I got my great-grandmother's dressers. And so, like, I had a lot of furniture for someone who had just moved out on their own. Like, I was pretty well set. And we did all the moving in.
Was it what size apartment was this?
Oh, my apartment was awesome. So, I feel bad for, like, people who are trying to rent today because I hear rents are really high. But this apartment was nice. It was, like, it was a two-bedroom apartment. But the master bathroom was gigantic. It was, like... it really was the size of two normal bedrooms. It was just like really big with a huge walk-in closet. The bathroom, it was only one bathroom, but it was attached. Like you could get into it from the master bedroom or from the hallway. And it was just really nice. It was only like $800 a month. So like
get out of town.
At the time that seemed like a lot of money because I never lived on my own before. But like now when I hear about how much people are paying for rent, like... I'm like, hey, you should move to Waterford. I'm sure the rents aren't the same, but I'm just saying. It was a good deal. So anyway, I'm moving out, and it's like exciting because I get to be in my own place. But it's also super embarrassing because my mom has decided to go into potluck mode and talk to every single person that she meets and tell them my whole life story about how I'm just moving out on my own for the very first time, giving them my name, what apartment, and like,
oh, mom, that's weird.
That's not appropriate. Like,
some of these people might be troublemakers.
They might be murderers.
Murderers?
Who knows?
I didn't want to cast aspersions in the people of Waterford. But
right, but you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, now,
that's true.
Now all the people hanging around know that, like, oh, here's this young, naive woman
living
all on her own.
Let's come out and judge how stealable her things are.
Yeah, do her things look good? Luckily, I don't think my things look that good. Like, I had plenty of stuff, but it wasn't amazing. I had, like, I think my TV... was really little. I had won it at my high school graduation party. And, you know, like it was a bunch of stuff that was not amazing. But still, we don't need to tell everybody. If they want to murder people, they're going to know that I'm available for murder. To be murdered. But one of the... Well, as we were going around and my mom was talking to everybody...
I mean, there's no... Because that makes me think of like... It's like when you're on vacation and you don't want everybody to know that you're a tourist, you know, because like that makes an easy mark.
Or what but if like, you're on vacation by yourself?
Yeah. There's no hiding that you're moving in.
Right.
Because, like, you're a stranger.
I would like to look street smart, at least.
And you got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. They know I'm moving in.
But you can't, like, make it look... It'd be difficult to pull off making it look like you're just someone who crashes at someone who already lives there's place.
Right.
And you're, just, like, doing a slow move-in where you're just, like, bringing in, you know, a tiny box, you know, once a week over, like, a six-month period.
They could have played up that I was in a street gang or something or made me look tough. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
So, as my mom's telling everybody my life story, she runs into these two ladies. The picture I have in my head is that they were sitting on the steps. Their apartment was, like, downstairs from mine. I later learned that this was Karen and Missy. And
those are their names.
That's their names, two ladies. And they, Karen and Missy both had short hair, and Missy's hair, she had just dyed it like bleach blonde. And so I thought she looked just like Eminem, which is a weird thing to think about your new neighbors. And they were delightful. And so after I get all moved in, everybody goes home. It hurts me that I don't remember all the details, but they did something. They made some sort of friendly gesture. I think it might have been like a note on my door or something. They somehow made like a friendly type of move.
They an outreach.
Yeah, an outreach.
And welcome to the building or whatever.
Right. And it warmed my heart, and now I can't believe that I can't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember my response. So, like, I like to make things, and it's everything. I try very much to hold back my urge to do a crafting podcast because I don't think anybody wants to listen to that. But at the time, I was into making candles, so I made them a candle, and I left it in front of their door with, like, a note. Like, I'm just imagining, what if the first note said something like, want to be friends? Yes, no, maybe.
And check,
like,
the box.
Did I check the box? Like, I don't think that's what it was, but I can't remember what the note said. But it was some sort of response of, yes, let's be friends. And after that, we were just, like, the best of friends. It's super awesome to have friends that live nearby, and they are wonderful, and they had, it's so crazy, because they had two little girls, and now those little girls are all grown up, Karen, Kayla, and Emily, and they were adorable, and they, like, let me be part of their family, basically. We'd always go back and forth with, like, eating dinner at each other's houses, or we'd eat rice at their house while we watched Survivor and stuff. So, like, the best of friends.
What would you make them? This is you out on your own for the first time.
Oh, yeah. So, like, if they came over, I would make spaghetti. Or, like, I would try to make chili, but my chili turned out to be just, like, spaghetti sauce. I remember that they said, hey, do you know how to make fried chicken? And I was like, no, I don't. So, like...
They were hoping you did.
Yeah, they were hoping I did. So, they were much better.
Between the three of you or the five of you, nobody knew how to make fried chicken.
No. No, that was the problem. But, like, they were much better at cooking and coming up with adventurous stuff. I think I had, like, a few things I knew how to make at the time. But it was just, like, a lot of fun. Because, you know, that's how I imagine it is to live in a sorority. That, like, your bestest buddies live just outside your room. Sounds awesome to me. So, we would go on all kinds of adventures. And so, the one adventure that I was thinking of that would be a funny story is the time that we went to the lesbian sports bar. So, it's a lesbian sports bar, and as soon as I hear that, that's when I decide that the place has really got to be called the Sports Bra.
Like, why wouldn't it
really be called that? It's perfect. It's the perfect name for a lesbian sports bar, is the Sports Bra. It's perfect. Right? So, because I've always called it I don't know the real name of the place. Yeah. They're like, it's too obvious. Come on. So I don't remember the real name, and I don't even remember really where it was because I didn't drive to it. You know, they drove to it. So the plan was the kids were going to be at their dad's, and so we were going to go to this place and check it out. And I'm home late from work that day. So I rush into my apartment, like get changed out of my work clothes as quickly as possible. I just pick up whatever clothes are laying around. And then we go to this sports bra, and it was really fun. Like, I
What did you decide to wear?
Well, just my regular, like, casual clothes, jeans. I mean, I always had to cuff my jeans because I'm short, and I don't, like, buy jeans that fit me lengthwise. I just cuff them to make them work. Probably combat boots, my regular uniform at the, I mean, we're talking the very early 2000s.
The 90s are ended. You're moving into the 2000s.
Right. Usually a tank top with a flannel shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're ready to go. And we really had a fun time. Like, Karen and Missy, always fun to hang out with. We would always laugh and laugh. Like, they're so much fun. As I'm talking about them now, I'm like, oh, I haven't hung out with them much lately. And it's because, you know, Waterford and Ann Arbor are not close to each other.
Like you already said, there's these twisty roads.
Yeah.
It's these lakes.
And I really need to step arduous. It up because it's been far too long since we've hung out. But there's so much fun. And we're having a great time. We, the music at the sports bra was all like music that I love to sing along to. And I specifically remember like Bobby McGee. And it's not like a karaoke thing. It's just me being obnoxious and singing along to it because it's one of my favorite songs. And they had this thing that was like a gladiator thing on, you had one of those big things that looks like a giant Q-tip and you're on a balance beam and you're like trying to hit the other people off of it.
Like American Gladiators.
Yeah, like American Gladiator. So that was fun. I got to do that. And we just had a really great time. So as we're leaving, Karen and Missy, they had to go to the bathroom. So I'm sitting outside the bathroom.
As one does.
That, like, looking back, that's where I realized that's where I went wrong. Like, that's weird, right? Like, why am I standing outside the bathroom? So this woman comes up to me. She mm-hmm. takes the cuff of my shirt, feels it between her fingers, and she goes, "Ooh, is that flannel?" And what? Of course it's flannel. Also, like, normally when you feel someone's shirt, you say, "Is that silk? Is that velvet? Like, is that cashmere?"
Something that has, you're trying to figure it out.
Right, like, and it's usually something, like, luxurious, right? Like, something very fancy, you're trying to figure out what it
silk?
Is. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And then she just walked away. And I thought that's so strange. And, you know, it wasn't until we got in the car and I told the story to Karen and Missy that I thought maybe she was trying to hit on me. And it wasn't until I told the story to other people that I realized that it is super basic to go to a lesbian bar wearing cuffed jeans, combat boots, in a flannel shirt.
Well, that was before people called things basic,
though. Right, right. Basic wasn't invented then, so
there we go. Or maybe you invented it.
I invented it. That day, I was being basic, wearing my everyday uniform to the sports bra. But that's what I wore every day!
Yeah.
It you never didn't came say, up before that someone asked me if I was wearing flannel or not.
Yeah, you weren't like, how do I blend in with the people at the sports bra? And,
right.
you know, this is just something you threw on and you happened to find a flannel fan there.
Right.
Or someone who was curious about flannel.
Yes, at least somebody who was wondering if I was wearing authentic flannel or some sort of mock flannel. That I'm not even sure what mock flannel is. But had I thought about it, if I hadn't been in such a rush, I probably would have gone with something totally different because I would have thought about it too much. But because I was in such a rush, it didn't even occur to me to think about what I was wearing. Anyway, it was a wonderful time. And as I was thinking about this story, it did remind me of a dream I had recently.
Recently?
Where I, in my dream, I had to seduce a cult leader so that I could so that I could live on the compound. And in my dream, to seduce the cult leader, I wore almost the exact same outfit, except it was a bikini top instead of a tank top.
Oh.
So, I mean, in my mind, this is the perfect outfit for every activity. For seducing a cult leader, for, you know, picking up chicks at the bar, for just walking around in your everyday activities.
Did you go up to the cult leader and, like, feel the cuff of his robe and be like, oh, is this linen? Are those Nikes you're wearing?
That would have been a good idea. I didn't think of that, but that would have been perfect. Anyway, so that's my funny story.
That reminds me of the time I was out and, you know, back in the day, that same sort of time period, 90s, leaking into the early 2000s. It was an innocent time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going out to clubs and such, I would wear velour. And I had this one velour shirt. I still have it actually hanging in my closet in case anybody's like, We got to go to the club now.
Clubbing emergency. Let's go. Quick.
Yeah.
Get your club gear.
I go grab it. It's this really crazy shirt. It's like purple. It's like velour. And I only noticed, or actually, you know what? I'm not really an expert at fabrics. This is something where you know, like really like, well, what is it? You know, is it crushed velvet or whatever? I could maybe use an expert's opinion, but I had it for a while before I noticed that there's actually patterns in it where like, it's all one color, but like some parts are raised and some are not. And so it's really subtle where it's like a tiger face.
Rawr.
Yeah. So one time we were out and a girl comes up and she grabs a cuff of it and she says, ooh, is this velour?
Ooh.
And I said, look close, there's a tiger in it. And she leaned close and I go, rawr.
So if we were going to teach some sort of like pickup artist class, I think what we've learned today is that number one way to pick
wear a shirt.
Wear a shirt made out of a fabric. Doesn't matter what fabric. Any sort of
curiosity-inducing fabric.
Yeah, something that leaves some... that doesn't answer all the questions about what it is. So, like, pleather might be a good choice. Someone goes, ooh, is that pleather or leather? Like, there you go. There's a good option.
These days, would you get more likes for leather or pleather?
Like, it depends on the crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might have some snooty people who are like, ugh, pleather. Or, you know, are you an animal lover because you picked pleather right? over leather? Anyway, I think that's it for the podcast. So if you are interested, you could write into the mailbag and tell us about a story that you want to talk about. And we can figure out the technological ways to get you on the podcast. Or if you remember this story or any part of it, you can add details.
Well, I can tell you there is a way that they could submit audio, and that's if they wanted to get the Anchor app, you could then find our podcast on the Anchor app, and you can leave voice messages.
Ooh, see? Very cool. All right. Or if there's any other stories you want us to talk about. I'm sure I have like a whole list of stories that I can ramble on about, but if you think of any that you especially like to talk about.
Are we supposed to be rambling? I could ramble about things.
What else do you want to ramble about?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a bar story. I don't really have a getting picked up in the bar on account of my flannel story, but I don't know if you've heard the one about the first time I did karaoke.
Ooh, tell me. All right, I think I have, but tell me again to make sure I remember.
It was a dark and stormy night. I was visiting my friends who at the time were living in Los Angeles. It was one of my friends.
Is that California?
Los Angeles, California, not okay. Los Angeles, you know, Kansas.
All right.
And it was like my friend and then my brother were both out there. And they, at you know, hanging out together, they like to go to karaoke. I'd never done karaoke before.
Did this start your whole singing career?
Like, maybe
you never even sang before this. Anyway, continue on.
Yeah. Before this, I'd only sung in the bathroom with the door closed and make sure no one else is there with the fan running so no one can hear me.
Okay.
So they had a real fun time. And so they're, oh, let's go, you know. And this is, you know, back then, I mean, I think karaoke experiences changed because of technology. But, or maybe it hasn't changed that much. I don't know. But back then it was always like, you know, nothing was computerized. So you had a book. It was limited in songs, you know, much smaller number. You had to look through a whole list, find a song they wanted. Anyways, this was at a bar. I think it's called The Mint, although I might be wrong about the name of it. Because I know there's a place called The Mint, but I might be thinking of a different place. But it was on Pico Boulevard.
Pico?
Yeah, and it's like real dark when you go in there, which is good. Because one time we went in there during daytime because someone had lost something, and the carpet was dirty.
Let me tell you, I don't think you should go to any bar during the daytime. Because one time, I was helping somebody set up like a rehearsal dinner, and it was going to be at a bar. And we went in and made the details during the day, and it was gross. But at night, it looked very cool.
Yeah. So this is the kind of bar where even though Los Angeles was ahead of the trend in banning smoking in public places. Smoking was already banned.
Los Angeles is always ahead of the curve. Yeah.
Which is like, smoking only got banned in public places just a few years ago here in Michigan. But this was like, you know, 20 years ago. It was already banned. But this place, the neon sign for the bar was a martini glass with like an olive with like red in it. And then it would change and the red in the olive would turn into the burning end of a cigarette.
You're not going to ban smoking in your facility after you've invested that much in like a fabulous sign.
Yeah, like the drink menu had one of the specials was a can of Pabst with like a cigarette on the side.
PBR.
Yeah. Anyways, so go there and the karaoke was run where like they had a guy running the CDs or whatever that the karaoke songs were on. And then they had a girl who was the hostess who would like sing, seemed like every third or fourth song herself.
You know what? People who run karaoke at places, they love to sing. That's why they have a karaoke business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is like a team, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, friends, they were more experienced with this. So like they were putting songs in and then they were going up. But, you know, I've never done this before. And like you get nervous or whatever. And you don't know what your voice sounds like without the bathroom fan running. So I'm looking through trying to find the perfect song. And I'm looking through the whole list. And we've been there a while. And I finally pick, I'm going to sing Buddy Holly's song. It doesn't matter anymore.
Ooh, that's a good choice. That's a fun one.
Yeah. And so we submit it. You write your name on a piece of paper with song title and maybe it had a code number or something like that. And we put it in. And then it doesn't get called. You know, time keeps going. Other people are singing.
And they're like, nope, guy's not ready.
So eventually, a friend goes up there and, they thought that our group had already, like, because my friends had sung songs already, that, they were confused. They thought the submission was just somebody who was already sung at our table. Like, maybe they were trying to trick them with a different name or something. But they're like, okay, we'll let you go the next song, right? So they announce, they say, you know, Nathan, you know, come
Nathan,
up or whatever, right? You know,
come on up.
And I go up there and, you know, they have like the bar's dark. So they have like, there's like a light on the little tiny stage in a mic stand, a couple mic stands or whatever. And so I start singing, you know, the music starts up and there you going, baby, you were mine. Well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, now, golly gee, what did you do to me? Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. And then...
So wait, I've been to karaoke with you before. And I know that your signature move in doing karaoke is that you sing loud. Was that your signature at the time or you hadn't discovered that as your signature move yet?
Singing loud is my signature move?
Yes. Very loud. Like some to say that you sing angry. Like that's your style. Was that your style then?
Well, maybe this is the origin story.
Okay.
So I'm like probably not even halfway in the first song ever singing in karaoke ever. I'd never done this before. When some drunk smelling of weed stumbles up on stage and like there's a second microphone, grabs it and starts singing along with me like we're a duet. Like what is going on?
Friends forever.
I don't know who this person is. I'm not even looking at them, right? Because I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like why are people just allowed to join in? I didn't want anyone to join in. And starts singing along. So irritating. And so I probably was getting a little angrier, you know. There's no use in me crying. I done everything and now I'm sick of trying. I've thrown away my nights, wasted all my days over you. And anyways, the guy stays up there, gets in the song, and, you know, everyone's polite and applauds, whatever. I sit down, I'm really mad. And... you know what? There was another guy there with us that was somebody I knew from a previous time I've been to California. I remember because he was kind of a goofball. Because, like, he sat down and they tell me, the guy who joined in, was actor Dennis Quaid.
Ooh.
And you look up and it is. The karaoke guy lets him sing the next song. I don't remember
Dennis
what he's saying.
Dennis Quaid of Innerspace fame?
You know what? Because we were all sitting there saying, oh, what do we remember him most from? And Innerspace was the one we kept coming up with. Innerspace.
That was my
first Martin Short.
That was my first PG-13 movie. I bragged to all my friends when I saw it.
We kept thinking, oh, Dennis Quaid, he knows Martin Short. Oh, Dennis Quaid, he knows Randy Quaid. That's what we kept thinking. At the time, actually, he had just had a rebirth in his career. He did some movie where he's like an old guy who becomes like a major league pitcher or something.
It sounds like a sports movie.
A sports movie. Yeah, yeah. But he was there. The reason he was drunk and stoned was he was on a bender. He had just had a divorce from Meg Ryan finalized.
America's Sweetheart.
Well, she wasn't necessarily that nice when it came to that. But, like, I'm not really taking sides. But, so, like, he rolled up in a limo, got out, interrupted my song because he thought, oh, Buddy Holly song, I played Jerry Lee Lewis in a movie, so I'm all old-time rock and roll. I'll join in.
Who was it who... There was a Buddy Holly movie. Who played Buddy Holly?
Gary Busey.
Ah, so like,
pre-motorcycle accident.
If it had been Gary Busey, that'd be a different thing altogether.
That would have been really weird.
But yeah, Dennis Quaid, just because you played... Wait, who'd you say he played?
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis, not the same thing.
No.
He was probably hoping you had a younger sister.
So the karaoke guy comes over and he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, I would have gotten up and stopped him, except it's Dennis Quaid. You know, because it's like Hollywood and like, they, you know, oh, well, we got to let them run the show. Like, yeah, so they kept saying, it's Dennis Quaid. And so like, as Dennis Quaid sings a song and then he leaves, right? Like, I don't know if Dennis Quaid knew that it was karaoke night there or he randomly stumbled into a random bar and decided to join in and then leave. But as recompense, the karaoke guy let us all go up as a group and sing another song.
Don't Stop Believing.
No, we sang I Will Survive, which it was the Gloria Gaynor version, but I was singing the cake version.
You know, both are hard to sing in karaoke, harder than you'd expect.
And you know, you ask about my karaoke style. What comment did the guy running the karaoke say at the end? He said that was the angriest version of that song I've ever heard.
Well, see, there you go. That, and then you took that with you. That, like, formed your whole style of singing for the rest of your life.
Douglas Stank.
It's beautiful. All right, perfect. I think that is a good amount of rambly stories. That's perfect. Thank you, Nathan. All right, so that's our podcast. And if anyone else has any ideas, let us know.
Douglas Stank.
Thanks. Bye.
Let us know how you feel about these topics by emailing us at calmdowncath@gmail.com. Kath with a C, C-A-T-H, or find us on Twitter at Calm Catherine. That's Calm and Catherine with a C, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. And maybe we'll feature you on our next podcast.
Calm Down Catherine is brought to you by Pizza Bob's, home of the original chipotle. We've bottled our world-famous chipotle sauce, and now we'll ship it direct to you. That's right. You can have a taste of Ann Arbor in the comfort of your home. Just call 734-665-4517 to order now. 734-665-4517. What's that number again? 734-665-4517. Go Sketty, the portable pasta for those on the go. Texoga Pants. Going country doesn't have to mean leaving comfort behind. Calm Down Catherine is produced at the studios of Analog Dungeon East by Nathan. Copyright 2022. All rights reserved. Calm down, Catherine. Calm Down Catherine is hosted by Anchor.fm. Visit our website at anchor.fm/calmdowncat. Listen on the Anchor app to leave a voice message, and you might be featured on a future episode.
Hey, Henry. Do you remember back when our favorite rock band put out a dance album?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, hey, who could forget? Yeah.
That was the time of my life. It was the swinging 2020s.
Yeah, exactly, the swinging 2020s.
Everything was right in the world.
They were playing hits at the club.
I'll tell you what brings me back. It's songs like The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night.
The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night. The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night. The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night. The Weeknd Starts on Thursday Night.
You were remember. You can't lock down the beat.
Who could forget that jam?
I remember.
But I'll tell you what gets my heart pumping is Sprinkle Some Diamonds. Such a classic.
I remember meeting my wife to that song.
Sometimes, though, you're in the mood for something a little more laid back, a little more classy, and that's why I always put on Douglas Stank's immortal version of Chopin's Prelude E Minor. But you can still dance to it.
That's right.
Who can forget their immortal hit, My Baby Has Poop-Stained Balls?
Oh, yeah. And I remember shaking it like an Etch-A-Sketch.
Oh, that dance sensation was everywhere. People dancing like they're turning the knobs, dancing like they're erasing their Etch-A-Sketches. Takes me back.
I was turning so many knobs back then. I was served with a cease and desist.
You know, I also like the classic sort of like album tracks that maybe they didn't get the radio airplay, but man, did I like the jam all night to Love Is an Open Sore.
Love is an open sore.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one earworm that festers like nothing else.
Yes, it festers.
It festers into your heart. Through your heart.
And of course, the collection wouldn't be complete without the Eurodance hit Love and Dancing. Love.
That's true.
And dancing.
Nothing else going on in the early 2020s and but dancing. To jam in the clubs.
Love. And dancing.
Where can I find this collection of music, though?
If they were smart, they'd only release it in limited quantities as an NFT.
But they're not smart. It's available everywhere.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no.
Coming soon on streaming service and downloaded, available everywhere. Douglas Stank. Dance.
Dance?
Dance.
Dance.
Douglas Stank.